Take the roll, please.
Mayor Lassa. Mayor Johnson.
Here.
Mayor Pugh.
Here.
Mayor Ziegler.
Here.
Kenny Ray.
Here. Court House President, first order of business is Senate Bill 312. Mr. Chairman. Senator Bates is here with his particular interest in the second item on the agenda. And I understand she has your request that we take Senate Bill 312. I would sort of press your objection. Do you have an objection to that?
Great.
It's ordered. So what we're doing is taking up the regulation of private schools. And 5-day rule waiver, and this, I understand, has a bill similar or not the same as it passed last year from this committee. With a, the only difference is that it takes in private schools as well as sectarian and secular schools.
Correct, Mr. Chairman. That was the basis of the governor's veto. And at a conference 2 or 3 days ago, including myself, Senator Fakes, Representative Tischer, Representative Legal Services, and Representative Attorney General's Office for the administration, we went through a, also there was a representative of some of the religious schools present by teleconference. We went through a draft which had previously been prepared by Legal Services on the line for several hours, and I believe there were no dissenting votes about the shift when those funds came out.
Well, we have a great deal of interest in this, Senator Penny John. Perhaps we could start with the bill that we got through by section by section. I have a feeling that perhaps this bill will be on your committee next, unless we look at some of the other problems that you might have. So I would ask your assistance or your cooperation in meeting some of those problems right here, if possible. Senator Fakes, you're the prime sponsor. If you'd like, you could come and sit down at the table and identify yourself and be ready to answer any questions that might be forthcoming.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Jan Fakes, representing South Eckridge in the Senate.
Senator,
you better have a copy of the bill.
Senator Pentagon, you have taken a very moral stand toward this issue.
You have, Mr. Chairman?
Oh, you have. Oh, I have. And we'll see if your moral stand is in the majority.
Mr. Chairman. For the information of the members, there was a clerical error made when this bill was introduced, and the version which should be before us is the one that has this cover on it, corrections, describes the treatment before the name of the corrected version.
So that's not purpose?
Correct. Purpose is section 1. So I would discard anything else. I circulated earlier that I would introduce a fully substitute should be disregarded since this correction takes care of that.
Well, we'll have to adopt that. If we do something, we'll adopt it as a committee substitute because you can't change this reference bill. We'll have to take that as a. There's a bill that was introduced that we said this committee is in this form.
Does that start off on purpose?
No.
That's what we have to work with.
Yes, so we'll have to have a committee substitute.
Well, in that case, at some point, I might have to work that.
This is the one we'll be looking at. Well, it's how do we
Mr.
get
Chairman,
from
we
here
check,
to, from here to here?
We check with legal services. Perhaps Paula could fill us in on the scenario here. Legal services sent over the wrong copy of the bill. They sent over last year's by mistake. And since it was a mistake, they said it could be corrected as a correction bill and not as it didn't have to be a committee substitute. And that's why this morning they printed up the corrected version of the bill.
Senator, I conform to your thoughts. You're a senior member. starts out section one purpose.
That's a proposal.
Proposal to be assessed through various tax.
Mr. Chairman, you mentioned problem. I don't know what problem that you're arguing with. I haven't had a chance to look at it. The position I expressed to you earlier was that it's clearly within the jurisdiction of this committee, but I'll just listen to this. It's open in mind at this time.
Well, it's my intent, Senator, to treat this as though we would need to put it in whatever shape, the best possible shape before it leaves this committee. Where it goes from here will be up to the president. That's okay. Senator Pettyjohn, if you would want to take the lead on this, you
can go ahead. Well, Mr. Chairman, we did add a purpose section to section one here. This is to clearly show that what we're attempting to do is to provide for the freedom for religious and private schools to educate their pupils as they see fit, with the minimum amount of state interference that can be done while maintaining some standards.
So I have to ask a question now. It would seem again that we're falling into the trap. The purpose of this is to conform to the fundamental right of freedom of religion. That we're still living out the private school.
On line 12, too.
Can we get down there?
On line 12, also.
Yeah, it would seem that we have to also include not secular schools in there somewhere.
Well, I think we are, Mr.
I haven't found it. See,
well, line 16, mentions private education.
Well, that's almost like an add-on. Second page.
Just to give you some background, Mr. Chairman, with your leave, sir.
Sure.
The original bill, the original work draft, was written with two complete chapters, one for private schools and one for religious schools. There was no purpose section. In order to comprehend, the AG's office had heartburn over having two separate chapters that had said exactly the same thing, except for one saying private and the other saying religious. So in order to combine them into one chapter, which is the bill that you have before you, they felt that the purpose section, which is not law anyway, it is not codified into law, was the compromised reach. The religious school folks thought that was fine, and then they put the private schools and the religious schools under one chapter with no problem at all, but they felt like they needed this purpose section just to clarify that there was a difference in the Constitution on freedom of religion. The rest of the bill treats them all identical, side by side throughout, with no other exceptions.
I can understand what they're saying, but I don't agree with the philosophy. I think that they're asking for a problem at the end of this. The very area in which the complaints are, and I would assume that it was rewritten to include both secular and non-secular schools, and I don't care anything about the Constitution for me. We all know this one.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
I'll leave that to you, Senator Pettyjohn, to write up the purpose of it in a different form so it takes it both secular and non-secular schools.
I think I can do that, Mr. Chairman.
You could make the mention of the constitutional provision of the separation of church and state or whatever you want.
All right.
I want equal establishment or an equal standing for non-secular schools, or you're going to have the same problem again.
Very well. Mr. Chairman, I think what I think you're saying is that the purpose goal has become extensive with the subject matter.
That's right. That's fine. But in order to help the world's faith, in order to eliminate the problem that you're going to have, or the obvious problem, again, well, I have an equal standing that know exactly what you're talking about, both private and instead of having to kind of include private education.
That's the will of the committee. I just know that my clients, the folks that I'm representing, will not like that they wanted separate chapters, and in order to get away from that said exactly the same thing, and in order to get away from that style, that drafting style, this was the agreed upon. So whatever is the will of the committee, of course.
Mr. Chairman, I think you and I share the same plans, so to speak, Senator, and I think I can draft it in such a manner that will not dilute from what they're interested in.
I'm not trying to dilute anything. I'm trying to make equal standing with the private schools, non-secular schools, as with secular schools, and give them equal standing. Otherwise, you're going to fall into the same trap you're in right now. All right, duties. about line 26. On page 1. Prescribed by regulation a minimum course of study for the public schools. I would think it would almost be mandatory that that level should also be adopted by both the secondary and non-secondary schools.
Then I think we'll be starting to talk about the purpose of the bill to determine why. Because if you establish a course of study,
minimum course of study,
that represents the kind of state involvement with religious schools that they're trying to get away from. And I don't think, in that case, Mr. Chairman, if we're going to do that, I don't think it's worth going forward with the bill.
Well, maybe I'm not making myself clear. What I'm saying is to get away from the equal protection. So it's the duty of the state to provide that see that every child in the state has a minimum education. And what I'm trying to say is that if it's a requirement that both the secular and non-secular schools provide that minimum that's acceptable standards by the state, is what I'm saying.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the state is involved in public education. As you certainly know, to a tremendous extent. And what you have...
Well, you can't have it. Let's take some strange idea. Say that one of the church schools did not require reading as a required course. Mm-hmm. Would you accept that the children in that school are getting equal protection of the law and
well, Mr. Chairman, I think
Senator Joseph, you know what I'm saying. I think Senator Joseph's argument. He knows exactly what I'm saying.
So, do you want us to debate that argument? Is that what you want?
Well,
I'm trying to
see if it's necessary to put some kind of requirement in there. That's all.
In Section 2, because
Thank you.
all schools that have their test scores significantly below all the other schools in the state to have sanctions, or for the government to come in and control the particular curriculum at that school.
All right. So the answer is that there is no sanction. Now, the other thing is this provision for testing only applies as to a school which elects to comply with 1445, 100, 140. And if you don't make that election, and to be induced by making that election, then you fall under 14C or what?
No, you fall under the current state law, which tests in the fourth and eighth grade and destroys the test results in Portland.
But the provisions in current state law regarding testing to be deleted under the bill.
The DOE would like to delete all testing.
Do you have a copy of this from Mr. Keith Libby?
Uh-huh.
Well, here's where I've been led astray. I'm trying to accomplish something that says here in the first paragraph and the last line. Other private schools to opt out of general laws and regulations have to come both to private schools if they agree to comply with certain minimal requirements. And that's what I've done to find out what the minimal requirements are.
Mr. Chairman, you will allow me to go through my testimony. I got them all spelled out, and I can go through them one at a time. I thought the instructions were we were going to go through the bill section by section. So
we got down here to prescribe by regulation a minimal course of study for the public schools, and that's where I made the question, do they have a minimum course for the private schools?
Yeah. If it's subject matter you're talking about, if it's subject matter, they will be tested on English, grammar, spelling, mathematics, and
that's all that's required, as far as I'm concerned, because then you're getting equal protection under the law. That's under the Constitution. That's what I'm trying to bring out, and that's the stumbling point that you're going to find in one of the other committees that this bill might go to.
Mr. Chairman,
yes, sir.
The Alaska Constitution states the legislature shall by general law establish and maintain a system of public schools over all children of the state, etc.
Right.
Now that is equal protection. Any member of any citizen of this state has the right to his children getting a public education. That's equal protection.
The public advocacy law of the individual allows the minor child more leeway, and he can bring the suit against his parents if they do not provide him with adequate protection and the Constitution provide him with a minimum education. And you know that, and you should know it.
Here, Mr. Chairman, if I might be able to respond. I think you raised some points here, and I guess you just have to be blunt and candid in discussing this. I think the philosophy behind this bill is, frankly, that the education of children is primarily the responsibility of their parents or guardians. And the state is required by Constitution to allow for a public school system that is there and which is available to the children of the state. But I think what we're saying in this bill is that the parents...
I am 100% in favor of private schools operating their own schools and religious schools operating their own schools, providing there is a minimum course or there is a minimum level of education. And anything over and above that is good. But that's we went through that, and I went through that last year with the Lieutenant Governor and the Attorney General, in which he said that they had a constitutional problem under the Equal Protection Clause. And it was the Attorney General that brought it up himself, not me, because he was much smarter.
That was an Equal Protection Clause problem, Mr. Chairman, which I didn't agree with, but nonetheless, that was because the bill we passed last year the distinction between religious schools and private non-religious schools. And religious schools were being exempted, the private non-religious schools were not being exempted. So there was an equal protection problem in the minds of some attorneys in the Department of Law. That was one problem.
No, not according to the conversation that I had. That was one of the arguments. That was the simple argument that you were treating religious schools different than you were private schools. That was number one. But the second, an overriding problem that the Attorney General told me is that under the Equal Protection Law of the Constitution, you must make a guarantee it's the state's responsibility to provide each child within the state the opportunity for the equal education. And I said, well, isn't that what you're doing with the public school? And he says, yes, but you also, if there are other schools within there, they must at least have a minimum course offered so that they are getting the same level of education that's offered at the public school, or they are getting equal protection. That's his words, not mine.
Well, Mr. Senator, if
fix, and maybe you can advise of what the latest position of the Attorney General's office is on this bill.
Well, they support this bill. Mr. Chairman, and I'm going to go far afield on this, they don't do that to the public schools now, sir. They don't tell the individual public schools out there in the 53 districts in this state what to teach, nor do they give them a minimum of what to teach. The only direction they get from the state school board is the minimum graduation requirements that the child must have in 4 years of high school. One English course, one math course, one science course, and one history course. That's it.
Would you make them feel more comfortable if this bill went first to Hess so we could iron out some of these problems?
No, I'm just trying to answer your questions.
Yeah, but I said, would you feel more comfortable if it went to Hess?
No, I really wouldn't feel more comfortable.
All right, let's go.
Well, it's not people to ask, because I find it's up to the president, but I think this has, I don't want to interrupt your testimony, Senator, on that question.
Let's go through section two.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll see.
Are you leaving?
Changes on page 2, lines 10 through 16. Actually, I think our addition, we're changing the consultant from the Department of Health and Social Services to the State Fire Marshal, State Sanitarian. I think those are kind of technical kind of a change. So the change addition on lines 13 through 15, I think, represents an increase in the. I don't think that's required under current law, Mr. Chairman.
What about accreditation? Is accreditation, in this respect, is that just a simple approval that they're teaching a minimum course?
Accreditation,
it's on the next page on 6 there. It says, accredit those public schools which meet the accreditation standards prescribed by regulation by the department. Does that mean, of course?
Where are we, Mr. Chairman?
Page 2.
Page 2.
Line 3. Does this set the curriculum, is what I'm saying. Does that set the curriculum there?
No, I don't think it does. I think it has to do more with the...
Is that, Bob, does that set curriculum there at all?
I think it just has to do with having accredited teachers.
Oh, all right.
Where's that? Page 2, line 3. In any event, that is current law.
That this bill violates the constitutional question of equal protection under the law.
Very well.
Will you do that for me?
Yes, I will.
I'm pointing out the section so we'll know what he's talking, where he's figured it, or what part of it.
Okay.
I would feel safer with that.
So you would like his opinion on the equal protection aspects of the bill,
it provides each child in the state equal protection under the law that they have equal opportunity for an education.
Right, as opposed to the problem we're talking about. Okay. So, where are we now, Mr. Chairman? Now?
Well, this is more or less the same thing that passed last year, isn't it? it's changed.
Ted says that the private schools don't have to be licensed, and that was the big thing that I think was one of the big things with it.
Right.
Review plans for construction.
That's again, page 3 is lines 2-14. That's simply current law. It's all included in here, but it has no bearing really on the bill other than that.
Okay, now wait a minute. Here's something of interest that we might be getting at. Section 3. This section does not apply if a child is provided an academic education comparable to that offered by the public school in the area, either by attendance at a private school, in which the teachers are certificated according to AS 1420, or tutoring by personnel certified. Now that might be it. That might be the area. You suppose?
Well, that may be it.
All I'm doing is checking.
Okay. Well, that may be what the AG is relying on. Right. Because what we're doing here, Mr. Chairman, in subsection C here, on line 23 there, we're saying that you don't have to comply with the mandatory attendance law going to a religious or private school which is chosen to be exempt.
All right.
But as you have just pointed out,
maybe that's a savings clause.
A comparable education that apparently is required.